Verse 24, we're almost done with this section. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but this time it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not so much like the scribes. Jesus began the Sermon on the Mount with the pathway to true joy, the Beatitudes. Jesus ends his Sermon on the Mount with, there are two roads. There are two trees. Who should we listen to? Check the fruit. Beware of religious deception. And finally, there are two foundations. God allows storms and demonic attacks and disappointments. Why? To let me know what path I am on. Would you now go to the book of Acts chapter 8? Both in football and in basketball, we had coaches who would tape our games. I played so long ago that they used film. You would take the recording of your game, and then they would do that thing where they would put the play on the screen. And he had that device that could go forward and backward. How many of you ball players know what I'm talking about? Hadley, you missed the block! Forward, miss, back. Forward, miss, back. See? Miss, 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 miss. I got it. And so did everybody else on the team. You want to see the film of two guys, one who didn't said all the right things and is not saved? Let's check it out. Acts chapter 8. The gospel is spreading. There's been challenges within the church there in Jerusalem, so that means that many Christians were forced out of the nest. And the good news is the gospel is being preached all over the area. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. There was strong ethnic tensions between the Jews and the Samaritans. There's reasons for that. But the very fact that he's going to the wrong side of the track. To the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Verse 6. And the multitudes went with one accord, heeding, listening to the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and the great joy was on the city. Verse 9. Now watch this guy. But there was a certain man called Simon. I want you to be sensitive to the fact that he says and he does, apparently, the right thing. But he is not in heaven. Verse 9 again. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was somebody special. Number one, if you're taking notes, how not to be on the wrong side. Number one, this guy had a wrong view of self. I'm borrowing from John Corson's excellent outline on this section. It's just so good, I'm just going to use it practically verbatim. Wrong view of self. Jesus said, you got to be emptied to be full, a servant. This guy doesn't want to be a servant. He worked really hard to draw esteem and respect. And Philip walks into town, starts splashing around the Holy Spirit, and now everybody's following after him. He wants to exalt self. Verse 10. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Just because something is supernatural, does it mean that it's biblical? Mm-mm. Verse 11. And they heeded him, this guy Simon, because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. He knows which way the wind is blowing now. Verse 13. Then Simon himself also believed. You better circle that. It's the same word, pisteio, that is used of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him, same word. In Greek, though, you have to look at the words just in front and just behind for context. In John 3:16, believed, put their full weight. Here, there's not such context on either side. This is a guy who only has an intellectual grasp. He has not had a life conversion. He raised his hand when Philip said, "Who wants to receive Jesus?" He raised his hand. He's not done yet. Watch this. And when he was what, everybody? Baptized. He continued with Philip. Now he's a disciple. Good, we got this guy in the church now. He said the sinner's prayer. He got baptized. And now he's going to all the home fellowships together. Surely he is saved, right? Let's keep reading. And was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they would receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he, the Holy Spirit, had fallen upon none of them. For they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Kind of like John the Baptist, a baptism of repentance. What Peter and John are going to do is teach them about being filled with the Spirit. Verse 17. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit, the fullness thereof. Acts chapter 2 type stuff. And when Simon saw through the laying on of the apostles' hand, the Spirit was given to them, he offered them money. He had a wrong view of self. And now, number 2, if you're taking notes, he has a wrong view of supernatural power. There's no doubt that he saw power, but watch what he does. He offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." What was his motivation? He wanted the Holy Spirit, not so that the Spirit's power could change his sinful ways, but instead to fulfill his agenda and his ambition. Wrong view of self, you've got to be emptied to be filled. Wrong view of supernatural power, God's supernatural power isn't to make you have goosebumps. It is to change your sinful ways. And number 3, a wrong view of the Spirit. You don't earn God's precious Holy Spirit. He just gives it out. Look what Peter says, verse 20. But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this manner." What? The filling of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent. That's the key. Give Jesus the steering wheel. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thoughts of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness. I'll bet Philip thought that he had a good new convert following him around. Here is Peter operating through the Holy Spirit gift of knowledge. You are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and he said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me." A lot of people think this is where he truly got saved. Maybe, but I don't think so. Because that's number 4. He has a wrong view of sin. There's no confession here. There's no emptying. There's no him releasing the steering wheel. Peter, would you pray for me? An important understanding to our Roman Catholic friends. But also, too, it's the same thing as saying, Pastor, would you pray for me? It's kind of like saying, I love coming to church because Pastor Steve did some time in the Bible, and I like to hear what his time, his lunch with Jesus was like. But if you have no hunger for the things of God, you saying that I'm supposed to read my Bible? Yeah. You mean I got to? No. You get to. This is not a book hammering you into submission, by no means. This is a love letter. Remember when you fell in love? And they wrote you a little something? I like you. Check the box. You like me back? Or get lost. And when they check the box, I like you too. Do you remember that? When we really find out how much this amazing holy God loves us, don't forget, he wired within us a God-shaped missing puzzle piece in your heart. And before you have allowed the Lord to fill that place, you've been trying to fill that place with all the other things. Have you ever noticed there's not enough of it? It's not intense enough? Nothing fills that space except for what it was designed to be filled by, a living, breathing, intimate, and close relationship with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. My heart and flesh cry out, says Psalm 84, for a brand new car. And driving off the lot is cool. But give it a little while, and like any other material thing in your life, it gets, well, not as cool as it used to be. The only thing that is new and fresh every single morning is him. Him. This is not what Simon is doing. He's not repenting. He's saying, you pray for me, okay, Peter? Because you got the schwammy. If ever we come to church and we're saying, Pastor's going to give us the word today, boy. And I hope he does. But are you having your own lunch with Jesus? Now verse 25. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now we're going to see another fellow. Let's check him out. Verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And notice the Bible says, this is a desert. Man, it was happening there in Samaria. There was Holy Spirit stuff busting out all over the place. Oh, the refreshing of the anointing of the living God. And then God says to Philip, I want you to go someplace else. Okay, where? Another cool slamming place for Jesus? No, I want you to go to northern Nevada. I want you to go to the desert. Philip doesn't say, oh man. Now watch, verse 27. So he arose and went, and he moved into Torino. Oy, oy, oy. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his car, his convertible, his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said to Philip, go talk to that guy. Go near and overtake his chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? Can you imagine this? What's up? The guy's all, hi, how you doing? Pretty good. How's the Bible study going? I don't get it. Philip ran up to him and heard he was reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And then the guy says, well, how can I unless someone guides me? Getting back to our notes. The Ethiopian eunuch is different. Whereas Simon had a wrong view of self, a wrong view of supernatural power, a wrong view of the Holy Spirit, and a wrong view of sin, the eunuch is a whole different animal. You notice that there is a sovereign work of the Spirit going on here. Go to the desert, and when you get there, go talk to that guy. Unknown to Philip, God had been moving in the eunuch's heart. Where do I find God? Evidently, none of the gods, little g, there in Ethiopia were scratching the itch. I'll go to Jerusalem. He probably talked to a number of Pharisees and Sadducees and even got a scroll. No small purchase there. But none of them took him through the Bible with the understanding. Please notice, loved one, when you give the Lord your steering wheel, you just go about your day. And unknown to you, over here, God has been working in this fellow or this person and is doing this to their life. And guess what happens? Boink at the water cooler. A sovereign move of the Holy Spirit, both through Philip and the eunuch. Now verse 32. The place in the scripture which he read was Isaiah 53, verses 7 through 8. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Who is the he speaking of here, everybody? This is the Messiah, who we know as Jesus. This eunuch doesn't. Verse 33. And in his humility, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. What's going on with this? Come up and here I'll tell you all about it. Verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or to some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth. And if you have a highlighter, you might want to highlight this. And beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Number one, a sovereign work of the Spirit. Number two, the seeking heart of a sinner. The eunuch was searching the scriptures, not following the miraculous. And number three, notice the scriptural basis for salvation. Not, how many of you are feeling the Holy Spirit? You feeling it? Feeling it? Ben, one more time. I show you pictures of starving orphans and wherever. Now how you feeling? You feeling it? Okay. Verses taking you through the scriptures. This is what Philip does. And beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to them. Now verse 36, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch says, is there any crowds here, by the way? Simon followed the crowd. There's no crowds here. He sees the water. He knows that in the Jewish tradition, the mikveh was a sense and a sign of cleansing. Unlike Simon, who said, give me some of this power, because then I'll be more powerful. This eunuch was convicted of his sin. Is there any water that I can be baptized? What about that puddle right there? Okay, says Philip. See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with what, everybody? All your heart. Full weight, your whole life. You may. And he answered and said, believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then, of course, he does get saved. Number one, sovereign work of the Holy Spirit, both through Philip and the eunuch. Number two, a seeking heart of a sinner. Number three, the scriptural basis for salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what, everybody? The Word of God. And finally, a sincere expression of a servant. Was he a man who had a lot of notoriety? He was a man of no small means. He was a man who had a lot of people working for him. But he stopped the whole caravan and stopped at a mud puddle. Sincere expression of a servant. Not give me the power, but I want to die to sin and myself. Let's all stand together. Would you join me in prayer? Not everybody who says to me, Lord, in other words, they address me by my rightful title, but they never did the right thing to get saved. A very important and penetrating question. Loved one, are you saved this morning? We need God's supernatural power, not so that I can flex my Holy Spirit muscles, so that everybody walks out of this room and says, man, that Steve is moving in the power of the Holy Ghost. God's supernatural power is to come inside of my life and give me the supernatural power to stop, to break the yoke of sin. Have I really and truly given you the steering wheel? I'm going to give you a chance this morning. Everybody's head down. Everybody's eyes closed. Here's the gospel as easily as I can present it. There's not one thing you can do to achieve God's level of righteousness. Biblical Christianity is the only system around where a holy God comes to my level in the form of Jesus Christ. Here's the kicker. He rose from the dead to prove who he was. And he's saying to you, I've paid for your sin, but salvation isn't yours until you receive this gift from me. Everybody's head down. Everybody's eyes closed. If you can finally admit that you are a hopeless, helpless sinner, and you need Jesus' finished work on the cross, would you lift your hand? It doesn't matter if you did that once before or if you've never done it. If you want to absolutely make sure that you give your heart to Jesus, lift your hand now and say, I am yours. I am yours. And maybe would you repeat after me? Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I can't stop sinning. Thank you for your finished work on the cross. I give you all of my life, all of my failings, all of the bitterness, all of the unforgiveness. I give you the steering wheel. Lord Jesus, be the driver of my life. And if I try to grab it, Lord, grab it right back from me. And then maybe ask, Holy Spirit, fill me, please. I want to get baptized if I haven't, not for salvation, but it is as an outward declaration of an inward commitment. And Lord, until I can get dunked in the water, would you baptize me right now in the Spirit? Like we saw in Galatians, for if I'm filled with the Spirit, Lord, I will not be at the beck and call of sin. In Jesus' name, Lord, see the hands, hear the hearts. Convict anyone who thinks they might be Christian when in fact they are not. Now is the day to get this right, not judgment day. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.